All right, we are plugged in for Tuesday the 14th of February. Valentine's Day, I think it is. And 2023, it's the Kraz Files podcast with Adam. And joining me for a chat tonight is David Parker. Great to have David back on the podcast with me as we continue our conversations on from last year back for 2023. Incredible, David. And our listeners will know David's work. I am absolutely positive. And Dawn's work, Dawn Lester, is always on with me each month. And we are continuing our talks into another year, so that's really fantastic. We'll be chatting about David's work tonight. The website is What Really Makes You Ill, and the book as well. That's up on the Kraz Files recommended book slider. And going around there for folks to have a look at. And all of the critical information and links will be attached to the podcast description tonight anyway for all our podcasts that go out there to the world. And David's going to chat about his work a little bit and a few other things, but we're going to take a look at the nature of reality a little bit on the podcast in our hour tonight. It is a little bit of an intense subject, and there's a lot in it, so we won't cram everything in tonight, but it will be a continuing theme, that's all, when I chat to David. It will continue that theme of the nature of reality, and as we do with all the great folks that I have on, we center around their great work and many years of research. So real independent media here in Sydney, Australia, I am podcasting since 2015, actually 2013, but doing the Kraz Files website since 2015, and website's been going really great, and a lot of traffic through there and folks having a look, so that's good. Doing well for real independent media anyway. We do not push the virus germ theory. So, you know, this, when you take the virus germ theory off the table completely, like we have here and with our guests, it cuts you down at the knees a little bit, you know. And we're never going to be like the big alternative media, but, you know, we don't want to be, and we're not. We're just going our own way, and we're talking about a lot of critical information, and fantastic research from David is one that, you know, David has done so much work on this. And if you head on over to the website, whatreallymakesyouill.com, it really is a massive website. You know, not just, you know, how much information on there, but, you know, the books and the blogs and everything and all the work that those guys do. So it's absolutely fantastic to see that going so well. And we'll discuss that on the podcast tonight a little bit and promote the book and things like that, as we always do. Everything's over on my website, krazfiles.com. Plenty going up, that's for sure. And contact me anytime through the website. I've got everything attached there now. So, you know, Telegram and everywhere, and BitChute and Brighton, all attached to the website. So you can check that out there. And contact me with any links or any information or just to say hi. That's fine. I'm here. I run it all myself. So, it is a labor of love, and I am here to answer any of your questions or put up any links, or, you know, some people really want information put up, and I'll post it for you, and we'll chat about it as well. It's really important. I have a members area as well, so you can support me there. Helps me to keep going. I can't continue without some support. We'll talk about how you could support David and Dawn Lester's work as well, of course. And so head on over to krazfiles.com if you want to sign up for a membership, and all the relevant information is there for you. And as I said, contact me if you have any issues on the website. Now, David, boy, we chatted last year and had a great podcast, and you've been busy and moving around doing lots of talks and things. We have landed in 2023, unbelievable, and we continue to move forward. And before we enter the nature of reality tonight, let's check in with you. How's things on your end going? How is everything over in the UK there? And bring us up to speed a little bit with how everything is going over there in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, sure. well, Well, thank you for getting me back on your show, Adam. That's really good.
No worries, man.
Yes, I think generally things have settled down a lot. I think if people sort of do a bit of a scan round what's happening in the world, this whole COVID nonsense has been starting to take much more of a back seat everywhere. Mm. You know, there's very few places now demand vaccine passports, for instance. You know, we noticed that very recently Thailand on one day decided that they were reintroducing vaccine passports on, and the very next day decided that they were removing all restrictions. And when we looked into it a little bit more, we found that the reports are that the king of Thailand, that his daughter, princess, and I think she's about 40, on her last jab that she had, passed out and went into a coma.
Yeah, I covered that.
Mm. Yeah, so they are in the process of suing Pfizer, and of course that news has rocketed around the world, and so more and more countries are going to have to follow suit. I mean, even America, which has hung on to still insisting on vaccine passports to get in there, but even Biden has said that they're going to scrap that. Certainly, I think it's in May this year. There's many that want it to come forward. Mm-hmm. So things have changed a lot and are changing, and restrictions, certainly mask wearing and social distancing, no one pays any attention, certainly in the UK. There's always the odd one, strange, odd person that you'll see wearing a mask in the street, which they've never been asked to do, but it really is a rarity now. So to all intent and purposes in the UK, it's a dead duck, as it were, which is good. And I think, you know, the authorities, such as they are, we'll call them that. I could use other words, but we'll keep it clean. You know, they're realizing that there's a big pushback from people. They know the majority of the public don't trust the mainstream media. They don't trust the government. They don't trust the local councils, and with good reason. And so we are getting the message out there. And it's good to see that not only with the work that Dawn and I have done with our book, What Really Makes You Ill, which has gone around the world. I think it sells into 15 different countries now. And it's been translated into French, Dutch, and Japanese. So it's getting the word out there. And so people are taking back their own responsibility for health, which is a good thing, and don't trust the mainstream medical system, particularly the pharmaceutical companies. But there's also a big push, certainly in the UK, and I'm hoping that's happening in other countries, and that's with the law, such as it is, to show that people should take much more interest in what their actual constitution says, and it applies to Australia, New Zealand, pretty much everywhere. In the UK, it's all based on what people may know as Magna Carta, which was from 1215, when King John, who was breaking the law, but the barons, such as they were at the time, brought him back into line because he'd literally broken the law. He'd stepped outside the law of the land, which is enshrined in Magna Carta, and brought it back in. So all these rumours that sometimes people say, oh, well, Magna Carta, you know, it's null and void because King John was under duress and had to sign it. Well, quite rightly was under duress. He'd broken the law, the same as anyone else, and the barons could judge him as his peers and bring him back in line. So people are waking up and are going to be able to start to understand how they've been deceived about the law as well as the health system, and also the banking system. So all of these things are happening in parallel in the UK and around the world. So it's all really about people recognizing their power and taking back control. And that sort of brings us really what we're going to talk a bit more about today. And that's the nature of reality, because on our other website, which is thenatureofreality.com, and our little book about the nature of reality, explains how people have much more power than they realize. So it's not just the, shall we say, the practical things that we talk about in health, and as I've just mentioned, the law and understanding the true power of Magna Carta, people's constitutions, which has been hidden from them by the mainstream, in the same way as health, true health has been hidden from them. So people are waking up to that. So I think it's a good time, and we found that more and more people are contacting us and wanting us to talk about the nature of reality, what this reality is and what life really is, because that again starts to give people more power. They can come into their power, because it's stuff that they're not, certainly not taught about at school. They're not taught about it in any sorts of religious education that they may come across. So it's quite important. So I think if we start, as you rightly said, Adam, right at the beginning, it's a very deep and complex subject, I guess. So we're not going to be able to cover it in an hour, but we can give an idea, some basic ideas that I think people will find useful. They can obviously go to our website, thenatureofreality.com. There's more information there. And, of course, they can always buy the little book about it, which they can get from pretty much any good online bookstore, including Amazon, of course, if I dare say that name. So I would ask people to think about, first of all, how they think they perceive reality. We won't labour this too much, but it will lead into what I want to say. So if we think about it, we only have our five senses, don't we? You know, sight, touch, taste, smell. We only have our five senses to tell us what reality is. And really, people have to get used to the idea that our so-called senses are, should think of them as filters, because they filter out more about reality than they actually let through. And to give an example, if we think about, I think most people from their science days in school will know about the electromagnetic spectrum. And we see with our eyes just a very small portion of it, which we see basically the seven colors of the rainbow. You know, that's when light is broken up by the moisture and we see the seven colors of the rainbow. Well, our eyes only see that very limited part of the electromagnetic spectrum, which is sort of in the center of it. But going out in each direction, there's, you know, there's x-rays and ultraviolet, infrared, lots more, which from a scientific point of view we know exist, but we are not aware of them, cannot see them, feel them with our senses. So we know that we're not seeing everything. If we could see all those, we'd again see a very different reality. We know that certain animals, even insects, can see further into the spectrum, so they have a different experience. And it's the same with sound. You know, the human hearing is quite limited compared to almost every other animal and insect. You know, dogs, cats, whales, and bats, everything has, can perceive a much wider range of sound. So again, we'd experience a very different reality if we could hear a much broader range. And so it goes on. But one of the most mind-boggling ones, I think, is the sense of touch, because that gives us the illusion, and it is an illusion, that we are dealing with a solid and separate world. You know, the, I'm sure both us and listeners are sitting down comfortably listening to this, and the world that they perceive around them seems to be solid and separate to them. The chair they're sitting on, or the table, you know, it all seems very solid. But from our early days learning about science, and we were taught about atomic structure, that everything, including us, is made up of atoms. And, you know, these are very tiny parcels of energy, but they're not stationary. They're moving about. You know, each nucleus of an atom has orbiting electrons, and those electrons are whizzing around the nucleus at high speed, and there's spaces between each atom. But our sense of touch doesn't give us any sense of that at all. Everything seems stationary and solid and separate to us. But that's the illusion of the senses. Now, that's the first sort of mind-boggling bit. But to give an example that people might be able to help them get their head around, I often use the dream analogy to think about what they do in a dream when they're fully asleep and fully engrossed in a dream. We're not aware that we're dreaming, of course, when we're in the depths of the dream. And we create a reality that appears to be solid and separate to us. And we interact with it as if it is solid and separate to us. We can feel emotions in that dream, fear, or love or whatever. We can experience all sorts of different things. But while we're in the dream, it appears real. But it's when we wake up, supposedly wake up, which is really just a change of state of consciousness. So we're moving from what we call the waking state of consciousness to the dream state of consciousness. It's just a shift in consciousness. But we can see, we're using that analogy, we can see that when we're in the dream state of consciousness, we recognize when we've woken up that we created all of that. It was all a conscious construction. But while we were in it, we didn't realize that. It appeared solid and separate to us. So it's great to ponder that. It is mind-boggling, but it's great to ponder what we've done there in that state of consciousness. And sure enough, if we examine what quantum physics talks about in this, they will admit that they cannot prove that there is a, and this is a physicist actually said this, they cannot prove that there is an out there. Strangely, they cannot prove that there is an outside world. Now, people will think, well, that's ridiculous. You know, I can see it. It's there. But that's when you need to think back to that little analogy about a dream. When you're in that state of consciousness and you're creating a reality, which you then see as solid and separate to you and you interact with it, just imagine for a moment that the waking state of reality is another state of consciousness where we're doing the same thing, okay? And while we're in it, it feels perfectly real and solid and separate to us. Now, we have to ask ourselves what we think this waking state of reality is made of. That might help us sort of get to grips with it a little bit. Now, we talked about atoms and what an atom is with its nucleus and orbiting electrons. And when we look at what physics says about it, what quantum physics says about it, they start to look at, okay, electrons are a negative charge in electrical terms, and the nucleus, you know, they look at, well, what's the nucleus of an atom made of, and it's neutrons and protons, and what are they made of, and it all starts to disappear like sand slipping through their fingers. And so they end up actually not knowing what this reality, waking state of reality, is really made of. And they just come up with the rather undescriptive term of, well, it's energy. When we go, well, what is energy? And no one really knows. So what we're saying, and what the cutting edge of quantum physics is saying, that this reality, which we think of as solid and separate to us, they don't really know what it's made of. Apart from saying it's energy, and they don't actually know what that is. Now, just to take that one step further, because again, I'm using examples from quantum physics because to give people reassurance that the sort of things that we're just touching on has been looked at very carefully for many, many years by the cutting edge of science. And as apart from saying that they can't prove there is an out there, one particular quantum physicist, and he's not the only one, Professor Amit Goswami, made the statement that no one will really understand this reality until they understand that matter, energy, and consciousness are the same thing. Now, that's quite a profound statement, if you think about it. Matter, energy, and consciousness are the same thing. So another quantum physicist called Harold Puthoff, worked, I think he still does, for Stanford University. And he took Einstein's famous equation, whatever you may think of Albert Einstein, but the equation was E equals MC squared, which I think we may remember from our school days. And what Hal Puthoff said, again, gives great insights. He said what that formula really says is how much, because with it, E is energy, M is mass, and C is light squared, the speed of light squared. So, but what he's saying is that that formula tells us how much energy is required to give the illusion of matter, to give the illusion of this solid and separate world. Now, that's quite a profound thing to come from a quantum physicist. So what we're really coming back to is that no one really knows what this reality is. It's really admitted by quantum physicists that it's just energy and no different to consciousness. So therefore, no different to what we do in the dream state, using consciousness to create a personalized, seemingly external and solid world. Okay, so these are things, these are concepts that I know are mind-boggling, but people need to sit with them. And these are explained, obviously, in more detail in our book, The Nature of Reality. But there's some profound things to come out of that. Now, where I'm leading to with this is because this reality, which we call everyday reality, is energy and consciousness. Our consciousness, including us, is energy. And in the same way we create a reality in the dream state of consciousness, we actually create a reality in the waking state of consciousness. Now, once we realize this, we start to take much more control of our personal lives. And it's one of the main things that we're in this reality to do, is to understand that we are creators. We are very powerful. Now, the dangers that we come across with, what should we say, what the mainstream media puts out, and this is done deliberately, is to feed fear into the general public. Because that fear and that information that we come across from the mainstream media, of course, they know, well, not the newscasters, they don't know anything, but the people who are putting that forward, they know that they will feed your fears, and that your beliefs about what is possible and what is not possible will form your reality. Okay? So that's the importance of this. So if they keep feeding you with fear porn, as some people call it, people will start to accept that as real, and it will form their reality. Okay? And that's exactly what the powers that are behind this whole scam are. But once we break that illusion and take back control and have nothing to do with what, that's why people often get recommended, don't listen to the news, don't listen to the mainstream media, because that's why it's been fed to you, to keep you enthralled and to keep you a prisoner, so that you create the reality that they want rather than what you want. Okay. And another word of warning, of course, because they know that this is how it works, they have infiltrated the so-called alternative media. And I'm sure you know, Adam, if you look around what's being put out by some of the pundits in the so-called alternative media, it's just as grim and dark as some of the stuff being put out by the mainstream media. And it's for that very same reason. It keeps people afraid of this, that, or the other, you know. and so people need to be aware of this. And so what I recommend, in short, is that people concentrate on what what is in their immediate personal reality. Certainly don't have anything to do with the mainstream media. And be very careful about what you look at and take on board from the alternative media, because it has been infiltrated, and there are certain people within it who are, I would call, half-truthers. And I'll name a couple of them. I mean, Del Bigtree, because he's got a huge platform. He's another half-truther. You know, he's busy trying to persuade people that he's doing a wonderful job trying to campaign for safer vaccines, which is complete nonsense. There's no such thing and can never be such a thing as a safe vaccine, because vaccines, all of them are poisonous. They don't, as we explain in What Really Makes You Ill book, the body doesn't have an immune system, so there is no need for vaccines, even if they did something, which they don't, apart from poison people. So we've got Del Bigtree distracting people to think that he's doing a good job campaigning for safe vaccines, or safer vaccines, so not even completely safe ones. There is no such thing, and there is can never be such a thing. But it's a distraction, and it draws in a lot of money from people, and distracts people and wastes their time. Okay, and you've got the same thing from JFK Jr., who's sort of on the same wavelength as him and doing the same thing. Again, draws in lots of money, distracts people. People think he's doing a wonderful job, but all he's doing is distracting people, thinking that there is such a thing as a safe vaccine. And when you look at any of the campaigns they've done, and so-called, you know, they try to brag about court cases they've done. Excuse me. Well, they haven't done anything. They haven't won anything of any significance. They haven't made any changes. They've just drawn in lots of money and achieved really nothing. And so there's a number of these people, like the solicitor, I guess lawyer, Rainer Fulmeck, the German lawyer. And of course, I'm sure you know, very recently, it's been found that the $1 million that had been gleaned from the public as a fighting fund to supposedly bring a case to court to prove that there's no such thing as a pathogenic virus, but that's all collapsed again. It's got nowhere, went on for years. And then it was found out, you know, some last year that out of the $1 million fund that he'd helped himself to three quarters of it, £750,000, to pay off the mortgage on his house, and that the other, and that the other lady, his other compadre on that, had $100,000 herself to pay off debts. And this is all true. This is not made up. But he's using the excuse that, it was all legal that I borrowed it and I intended to pay it back. Well, he should know as a lawyer that he can't do that. That's a totally legal act. But we'll see what happens. So we have two things there, where again, over a number of years, this last 2-3 years, he's been deceiving and distracting people that he's going to be a knight in shining armor and bring this whole thing to court. One, that's never happened, and two, he's been stealing the money, basically. So people need to watch out, because these people are all supposed to be in the alternative media, and they're all supposed to be helping the public and fighting back against the powers of darkness, if we want to call them that. And all the time, they are part of it. You know, they've just deceived the public, taken money off them, and done nothing and achieved nothing. So, but that's why it's important to not only ignore the fear-mongering from the mainstream media, but to watch out for fear-mongering and deception in the alternative media, because it's all designed to play on the general public, on their minds, and to form their beliefs. And their beliefs will form their reality. Okay, because it's all about consciousness, and as we've just said, consciousness is energy. This whole reality is energy, and it's formed by what we believe it to be. Our hopes and fears determine the personal reality that we experience. Okay, now once we, in the same way as learning about natural health, which we teach about, people can take that power back to themselves and realize they don't need pharmaceutical companies or doctors. and as people are learning about the law and the power of true power of juries and the true power of the Constitution. They're taking back control. And what I'm talking about now is to understand more about what this reality is and how the fear-mongering, from whatever quarter it comes from, is designed to form your beliefs so that you create a reality that imprisons you. It makes you feel like you're a victim, that you can do nothing about it, and so you fall into being a victim. And as such, you're prey to all the rubbish and deception that's fed to you by either the mainstream or, in many cases, the alternative media. So you have to be careful, this is what I'm saying, because I'm hoping that as people start to understand more about the nature of reality and about their true nature, because we are creators, that's why we're here, that's why we're in this reality, and that's why it's a really fantastic time at the moment where we've never had this opportunity for thousands of years to actually bring around a complete change of the reality that we live in by recognizing our power, recognizing that we are creators and that we create our reality. And so that's why I often refer to the sort of darkness, we'll call it that, that seems to be surrounding the world at the moment. As I often say to people, darkness is not actually a thing in itself. It's just an absence of light. And we, the people, you know, we are the creators. We are the light. And as we know, when we shine light into darkness, darkness disappears. And so people need to realize that they are centers of light. We are all light beings, and we're here for this very purpose, to make this great change in reality, this great awakening. People often talking very much at the moment, aren't they, about an awakening. Well, it is a real awakening. It's an awakening as to what we truly are, so that we can make this change. And of course, the good thing about it is it doesn't require any violence. You know, we're not talking about a violent revolution. It is a revolution, but it's a revolution in consciousness, because history tells us that whenever there's been revolutions in the past, which have always been violent revolutions, to overthrow some despot or other, but they've always ended up in a bloodbath, because generally the so-called authorities have always got more weaponry than the people trying to make the change. But this time, this is a bloodless revolution, because it's a revolution in awakening. And by the very act of knowing what we are and knowing that we create the reality we want, it starts with us, then that change will come about. And that's why we're seeing things happen, like the revolution in health, where more and more people are rejecting the medical system. They're taking back the power to themselves for their own health. They're rejecting vaccinations. They're rejecting pharmaceutical drugs. And as I said earlier, where people are realizing what the true power of the jury is, that it's all powerful within a court case, not the judge. The judge is an illegal entity, in fact, and quite outside of the Constitution. Like what governments put forward and tell us are laws, you know, under the Constitution, they cannot make laws. They can make statutes, they can make bills and recommendations, they cannot make laws unless the people accept what those statutes are. So the majority of the things that government do is completely illegitimate. Now people are starting to learn this and starting to, again, take back their power. They're realizing the fraudulent nature of the whole banking system, that usury, loaning money at interest, is again completely illegal. Not only is it against the Constitution, it's against all the religions, whether it's Christian, Muslim, or any of the religions. It's completely against what even those religions teach, even though they don't tell the public about it. So usury is a fraud, and people are starting to realize this. So it's the attack, if you like, on this fraudulent world that relatively small groups of people have created, is crumbling. And we're seeing it in all of these different areas. So this is very encouraging. So this is a very exciting time. And the more people wake up and realize that what their true power is, that they are limitless, that they are the creators of this world, and they're certainly the creators of the reality, their personal reality that they experience. So they're in full control. And once they realize this, they can start to lead and see and experience a very different personal life. Okay. So these are the sort of ideas that I've sort of wanted to get across to people. Obviously, we're limited as to how much we can do in this relatively short space of time. But if people care to go to our website, thenatureofreality.com, there's more information there. And they may be inspired to actually buy our little book. It's only a small book. It's not a great tome like our book on health. And it's written in a way that I hope everyone can understand. We've kept the jargon out of it in the same way we've done with the health book. And it's not very expensive. I think in most places it's probably less than $10. So, but it's a book that you'd need to read a few times because it instills insights, you know, and the ideas in it, when you like some of the ideas I've put forward in this little chat, the more you think about them, the more they will start to make sense. And more importantly, when you start to put them into practice, you will actually see changes in your life, which is really the important thing. So it's not just a philosophical concept, it's actually very practical. And that's really, in the same way we wrote What Really Makes You Ill book, to be a very practical, give people knowledge, but give them practical information that they can then change their lives about. And we know this has happened because people write to us in the same way as they do about the Nature of Reality book. You know, that it's very practical. It explains some, yes, quite mind-boggling concepts which challenge people to realize that the reality they experience on a daily basis is far stranger and much more wonderful than they ever believed, and that they're in control of it, which is the great thing. So they can, the practical bit is they can start to make these changes. Okay, well, I noticed the time's whizzing away. I've sort of rattled on for quite a bit, so I'd like to give you a chance, Adam, if there's anything you'd like to ask me about. That's on that, right. Or for me to explain a little better.
Oh, there's a million and one things, but I'm very glad, very happy that you just went through all that. It's been fantastic for myself sitting here listening, and very important information that we will continue to discuss. And it's amazing. I look at my own journey, you know, in my life, and I had a hard time as a teenager and in high school and things, and I got expelled from high school and I lashed out. I got angry at the system, you know, and I always knew that there was just something not right, but I didn't know how to explain it because you're a kid, you know, and you just know that there's something wrong or something not working around you, and you don't know how to explain, you lash out. And it got so bad into my 20s that I actually walked in front of a car and was nearly killed. And it knocked the hell out of me, you know. And after that, you know, I seemed to get things back a bit back on track, but and I look at my life going through and everything in the schooling system and everything that you're told and all of this. And I look at my journey right up to this point and where I am now and talking to all these wonderful people and folks like yourself, David. It's really incredible. It really is incredible because I'm listening to what you just laid out there, and it's like that key, you know. It's like a welcome home thing, you know. This is exactly the same sort of path that I'm on, so I'm here for a reason, talking to you right now. And I've started a new podcast just for my members. It's a reading and observation podcast, and I've been talking about this, exactly this, the consciousness. I've been talking about NDEs, afterlife experience and the nature of reality a little bit, just because it interests me so much. So basically, I'm going through PDFs and all this work that I can find for folks who like to listen to podcasts, and it's just something that always interests me. And listening to what you were saying there, it just connects so much with my own work and where I feel like I'm going now, and it's a really wonderful feeling when you listen to information or you connect with people out there in the world, and you have these conversations and you hear these things, and as I said, it acts like a key within you, and it just unlocks all this what feels like energy. It's like you're talking about stuff here that I feel like I already know, but it's just down there. It's like the layers of an onion. It's down there, and I feel like this is what's happening with most people. You know, it's like we're being trained to forget who we really are. And this is, of course, the transhumanism agenda, the transhuman type agenda, which is just, you know, I don't think they can ever really take away or destroy our consciousness, our souls, because this is an energy that the system can't touch. And I think that what's going on is that we are being, we're being led down this garden path, if you will, with all this propaganda and distraction and everything, away from where we really need to be. It's like being taken out into the deep sea. You know, and they're taking us away from shore, and then it's, you know, soon enough you're out there in the middle of the dark sea, and you don't know which is east, west, north, south, and where's shore. You know, and this is what's happening, and this is what technology is doing, and I keep covering this. You know, technology is doing the thinking for us, and we're allowing this, and it's just it's numbing us, and it's almost like a drug. And we're forgetting who we really are, and you know, where we're meant to be and what we're really meant to be doing and learning, and we're being steered away from that. But it doesn't mean that that is not, you know, traditionally or really there. And I think that, you know, even when you look at the transhumanism agenda, as far out to sea that we're being taken, I think that real self, that real identity, because I have been covering, and I'd like your opinions on this, I do feel that we are just sort of like a projection of our consciousness. Our consciousness is projecting us here. And I feel like, as you said there, and I've been covering this on many podcasts, that, as you said, the media and this system around us, it feeds us all this information. At the same time, it doesn't actually touch us. It doesn't lay a hand on us. This is how manipulative and cunning it is. It feeds us with this information. And then we take in all this negative information, and then we absorb it, and then we project this out, right? And if this is negative, then like if we're absorbing constantly all this negative stuff, and we're being fed this, and then we're projecting that out, that is actually creating the reality that we see around us.
Correct.
And without them even laying a hand on us, you know. And that is an unbelievable thing. So the projection of consciousness, and I was just looking at the quote, which it is really interesting, and I've said it a million times on the podcast from the Matrix film. Morpheus says, "Have you ever had a dream," to Neo, "that you were so sure was real? What if you were unable to wake from that dream? How would you know the difference between the dream world and the real world?" And Morpheus says, "I imagine that right now you're feeling a bit like Alice tumbling down the rabbit hole." And so he's saying to him, what if you had a dream that was so real, like we all do, but you couldn't wake from that? How would you be able to tell the difference between what we're doing right now and that dream world, because it's so real? And that's what you were bringing up before. And that's what I've been thinking about so much. You know, the dream world is just as real as this, you know, and it's a fascinating thing to think about. But you know, you bring up a lot of points there that really interest me, and especially the point where we are actually projecting out our own reality. And I've been saying this, and it's it's something that people, as you said, may need to get their heads around. But I think that the reality that we have around us, each individual person, is actually a reality of our own creating. And I think that this is kind of like some kind of mind war. And I wanted to get your opinion on it. Tell us a bit about what I've said there, but also the projection of consciousness. Are we being projected into this sort of human body, and are we getting too grounded? Do we think that this is it, you know, and this is all there is, and once we die, and that's all there is, you know, that kind of atheist outlook. But what is it with that projection of consciousness into this kind of existence? Is this because we're here to learn, and we chose to come back here to learn all of this stuff?
Well, that's why I said we're here for a purpose. And yes, this whole reality, including our so-called physical body, which is a misnomer, isn't it, because it's energy. And yes, that's part of the projection. We project it in the same way. And that's why I keep coming back to the dream analogy. When you're dreaming, you have a body in your dream. And other people that you meet in your dream seem solid and separate to you. They have bodies too, but they are all projections.
Do you see yourself in a dream, Damon, at all?
Sorry?
Do you ever see yourself in a dream? Because most people I talk to and myself, when you have dreams, it's almost like your point of view camera, you know, like your the floating camera, but you never see yourself in a reflection or who you really are in that dream, do you? Sometimes you do, but you're either young or you're older or you're a different sort of take. It's strange.
Well, you see yourself in the same way probably as your listeners and yourself and I, as we're sat talking to one another, we're sort of aware of our bodies and we're sort of aware of our extremities, you know, as we're maybe looking at whoever you're talking to, you know, your arms and legs. It's only if you look down to try and get a better view of your whole body. And it's the same in the dream. You know, I remember many dreams and you interact in exactly the same way, and you're aware of having a body that you're interacting with people, but you're just aware because you're looking through your dream eyes at this reality, and you're aware of your hands, maybe, depending what you're doing or who you're talking to. So you're aware of having a body in the same way, but and that's why it's so useful to keep going back to what you're doing with a dream. You're creating this reality. You're creating as if you have a body, and that other people you're interacting with in the dream have bodies, and there can be cars and roads and trees and buildings and all of these things, all of the things that exist in the waking state of consciousness. That's why I keep saying it's a waking state of consciousness as opposed to the dreaming state of consciousness, because as conscious beings, as creative beings, that's all we ever do, is we change states of consciousness, even to the point of the big seeming change in consciousness when we think that we die. Okay, that's when we wake up from this dream. The same way as we wake up from the dream that we have perhaps every night when we go to bed. And as you were just quoting Morpheus, what would you do if this was a dream that you couldn't wake up from? Well, you do wake up from it, and there's various ways to wake up from it, and that's understanding what it is. Or when we go through the change of consciousness that we call death, and we explain that about that in the book. You know, it's just a change of consciousness, because we never die. You know, we are immortal, we are timeless. And time itself is an illusion. That's a conscious creation, but we don't have time to go into that now. But we do talk about that in the book. And once you know that time and space are conscious creations, then you can start to manipulate them. And even, again, quantum physics admit that time, there's no such thing as a past, present, and future. Our waking consciousness thinks there is, and quantum physics calls it time's arrow, where there appears to be stuff happened in the past, bringing us up to the present day, and then we have a future extending out the other way, and they call that time's arrow. But in actual fact, from a quantum physics point of view, there's no such thing. And they talk about what we think of as past, present, and future all existing simultaneously. And again, that's a mind-boggling concept, which, again, we talk about in the book. And of course, that brings into play all sorts of interesting things, not least of which is what reincarnation is, which many people talk about as having one life after another. Well, if time doesn't exist, then any other lives that we have, and we do have other lives, but they're all operating simultaneously. And that's another mind-boggling concept. And that does explain a lot of things that happen to people when they appear to have certain connections with what they think of as maybe historical characters. Now, they may well have, because that may well be another one of their parallel lives, which is operating simultaneously, because past, present, and future exist simultaneously in the true nature of reality. So, again, these are mind-boggling concepts, but it does explain a lot of things once you understand how reality works. And that's why I keep saying the true nature of reality is far stranger than we can imagine. But we can start to get a few handles on it, which will then help us to be much more self-reliant and recognize our true power and start to flex our muscles, as it were, and to create the reality that we want. It starts with us, and that's why a lot of the mystics of the East in particular, who'd been looking at this for thousands of years before sort of the West, Western philosophers ever thought about it. It's very old traditions, and so they understand it a lot more. And so there's quite a lot that can be gleaned from that. But everything starts from you. I mean, it's even like the Michael Jackson, the man in the mirror, you know, that's where the change starts. It starts from you. So it's that old adage of about, you know, be the world that you want, you know, whatever you want to be in your reality starts from you. You are the creator. And once people start to recognize their true power, which is amazing, you know, we're magnificent, not only about our health and the health of our body, but what we create, our very reality. You know, we are amazing things, amazing beings. We're beings of light. And, you know, we cannot be controlled, and we are timeless, we are immortal. And the more that we recognize that and learn about our true nature, the more power we release, if you like, and can do more things. So I know we're sort of running out of time here. So there's a little thing I'd like to... Okay, there's a little thing I'd like to read, which I find very inspiring, and I'm hoping your listeners will too. So I'll just read this. It's only very short. It says, "Do you really think and believe that millions of evolved souls would say yes to come to Earth just to die in a totalitarian New World Order? Absolutely not. We came to flip this world upside down, back to its original state, and more. We came here for the new earth, for world peace, for the immortal golden age, for a new Eden. We came here for nothing less than to send a wave of light and love across the universe, signaling the birth of a new order of divine justice, peace, compassion, and love. That's why we're here. And that's why we're all here, to play our various parts in this particular fascinating and really important stage of humanity. So I find that a very inspiring piece. And so I hope that other people will too, and come into their power and make the change that they want.
Okay. Do you think, David, as well, like if we were to look at what we're talking about tonight, are we actually doing all this to ourselves, the negative side of things? Are we doing this to ourselves? Is it some kind of test or game, it feels like, you know?
well, yes, it's to a certain extent, yes, because...
Where is that negative input coming from, you think, like dark input?
Well, it's what we believe to be true. You know, while we believe that there's the Faucis and Bill Gates of this world that can do us harm, then that will manifest in our
reality. They're just characters, aren't they, in the game?
Yeah. But if we basically know that nothing can harm us, no one can make us be something we don't want to be, because this is why I'm encouraging people to realize what they are and take back charge of their life and what they create. You know, I'm not suggesting to people, oh, we'll just forget about everything and sit at home and drink beer and, you know, cheese sandwiches or something. No, this reality is a reality for action. It's a reality for us to learn what we are and to learn that we are creative beings and to create a reality that we want. So I'm not saying that everyone's got to go out to save the world. That's not what I'm saying. And that's why I'm saying that people should look at what's going off in their personal life and address that, but address it with the knowledge that you are in control. And if there are things happening in your reality you don't like, look at why that is. What is that based on? What fears are you harboring that's allowing that to be created in your reality? And just realize that they are just fears based on your beliefs about what is possible and not possible. So change those beliefs. Your beliefs form your reality. So if you don't like what you're experiencing, then change your beliefs, recognize your power, recognize you can have what you want in your reality, and things will start to change for the better. You have the power. So I can't stress that enough for people to understand that. And that's why we wrote our little book about it, to try and help people get their mind around their true nature. And it's all part of this awakening that the world is going through at the moment, because this is happening in all over the world, where apart from the more practical things that I talked about, health, law, banking and all the rest of it, the big awakening is in about our true nature. And that's really why I wanted to have this conversation today, because it's another really important piece of the puzzle for people to recognize what they are. Because right from our first days at school and all through our lives, if we don't know this, then we feel ourselves being victims of circumstance. You know, right from at school, you know, we may be taught things. Well, we're not taught any of the stuff we've talked about tonight, today. But we are taught that, you know, we're taught things like evolution, aren't we? That we sort of came from some pond scum sometime millions and millions of years ago, and that eventually that pond scum evolved into fish and fish into monkeys and all the rest of it. It's all nonsense. There is no scientific evidence to support that, even though we might have, you know, nice people like David Attenborough on the telly telling us about all this, but there is no fossil record to prove any of that is true. But it's all designed to make us feel insignificant, that, and we're told this, you know, that we're just a biological accident.
Your,
you know,
DNA that, is all mostly garbage.
Yeah, you know, so these are the things we're trained to feel, that we're not important. Well, we are extremely important. We are very, very important. And so this is the sort of message that I'm trying to get across to people, and to dispense with all of this negative stuff that they're taught at school, and all the negative stuff that comes in from the mainstream media, and all the negative stuff that comes from certain factions of the alternative media. You know, grow into your power, because you are very powerful and you're infinite and immortal. And this is what this time is about, is realizing that and growing into it and exercising our power. I can't say that enough times, really. And this is what's going to make the change in the world that all of us inhabit, this creation of ours, and not before time. Okay.
Very, very good, David. Could I don't know your schedule, but would you? How are you looking for March for another podcast?
Okay. Well, I'll have a look at that. I haven't got my calendar in front of me.
I'll just check with you around the 14th of March, yes, which is the same Tuesday as today. I'd like to continue, actually, because as I was saying, I think podcast listeners out there, that they, you know, you don't want to do too much in one go. They like to listen to a podcast and then we can continue, because there's always so much to cover. But this nature of reality is a very important thing that I would like to cover a bit more with you, because I have some more questions.
Sure.
I have some more questions about God and this belief system, and also death, and the way that we deal with the dead, and the and why people are scared of dying, you know, and the going in the ground and everything. There's all of this as well. There's also I would like to continue talk a little bit about reincarnation, what this means, a little bit more deja vus, and also the simulation theory and all of this, and there's much to go into as we continue forward. Just finding out the nature of reality and who we actually are, and why we're always being told to put our beliefs and our thoughts and our passions and everything out to someone else. Like we're always being trained to find ourselves and go out and look for ourselves when all the answers are right there. And this is the thing. You know, and it's such an I think that this is really the most important step, I think, for folks. I think that unless we can really understand what you're saying tonight and this nature of reality, I think we're always going to be lost, and that's the way I was saying that I grew up. You're lost, you know, you're wandering around and you're lost, and when you're lost and you go to school and all these things, and it seems like the world's picking on you. And the teachers are picking on you, and you can't feel, you can't find your place, and you get angry and you lash out, and you get angry at the system, and you become violent towards the system, and this is just playing into its hands. It's creating more negativity and more fear and everything, and this is the thing with a lot of young people, you know, that this happens to. You know, they think that they're rebelling against the system when they're actually doing exactly what it wants. Rebelling against the system is actually this, what we're doing now. It's actually finding out your true power, as you said, you know. But the concept of always being trained to look outside of yourself for something else, to travel. I've got to go and travel to India. I've got to travel the world. I've got to talk to the Swamis. I've got to go and meditate. I've got to go and do this, and I've got to go and do a million and one things to go and find myself. This is the thing, and I would like to explore a little bit more, the religious belief platforms and things, how you're punished if you do the wrong thing and all of this. And also in our podcast as we head into this year, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the near-death experiences and the afterlife experience. Science would have us believe, and the medical establishment would have us believe, that you're just a sack of meat. And when your body's time's up and the clock's over, boom, you're gone. And we throw you in a ditch and that's it. You're dead. There's no you anymore. And this creates a very kind of disturbing attachment to our bodies that, you know, it's like being too attached to a car that's going to get you around. But, you know, eventually that car's going to conk out and you're going to have to get a new one, right? And I think people are too grounded and too attached to their bodies, and they think that this is it, and when I die, and so, and of course, David, continuing our conversations, we can look at things like how people are trying to renew themselves and plastic surgery and all of this because they don't want to get old, and how we demonize old people, and how getting old is a bad thing in our culture. This is all really unbelievable and negative. It's a negative situation that we've landed in, and we need to cast all this off. But this is the thing, and so these are all conversations, David, ghosts and things like this, I'd love to talk to you about. But there is just so much in the nature of reality, isn't there?
Yeah. I mean, as a passing thought for people, in line with what you've just been saying, you know, we are not our bodies. That is not us. That is, as you said earlier, is a projection. In the same way as we project a body in our dream state, we project a body in the waking state. But it's not us. It's what we use. It's a projection that we produce. And so what you believe about yourself and your body is really important.
There's so much weight there, isn't there, David? Like people are so, they believe that they are their body so much, and they're so attached to that they're willing to destroy their bodies and have fake boobs and plastic surgery to make themselves look and appear younger. And this is an incredible state, isn't it, that people are clinging onto this, and they don't want to age because they think that death is the end of them, and it becomes so heavy for them, doesn't it? That I am me, and that's it. It's an amazing thing.
Yeah. Well, we can explore all those things, and I'm just looking at you. I'll just pull my calendar up. Were you thinking about, I mean, it's the 14th today, 14th of February. You were thinking of the 14th of March? Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah, just because it was a Tuesday night here in Australia and morning for you around 9 a.m., I thought the 14th might fit, just to continue these subjects that we're talking about tonight.
Yeah, I'm just making a note now so I don't forget, because I've got quite a full, the first few weeks of, the last few weeks of February and the beginning of March, I've got quite a busy schedule. So, but I've noticed that the 14th of March at the moment is free. So I'll put it in there and let me do it now, and then it's not going to get forgotten.
Lock it in.
Yeah.
Locked and loaded.
Yeah. Okay, we're in there. So we can obviously get in contact a little nearer the time.
I will. I've got your email there, and I'll email you. Something that is very interesting to me and close to my heart, and something that I wanted to put out there, you know, as I think that so many people are scared of death and all of this, and they don't understand that we're having an experience here, and we're just a projection, you know, and there's nothing to be scared of. And I think that weight of fear, people carry it right through, you know, and this is something that I think can help unlock that key to awakening so many people if we start off here. And it is really an important discussion, and I think it's a nature of reality kind of discussions that we can continue forward with. It's something that I'm very interested in, to the point where I've started a new podcast based on this, and I'm just covering all of this stuff as best I can for folks who are interested in it. And I myself have been trapped in the game of fear a lot, you know. You do get caught in that. But as I always say, I think awareness is the key. And I think if you are consciously aware, and if physically as well, but if you're, as you said, David, before, if you're willing to look in that mirror and understand things and not judge yourself and see it as a mistake or anything, and just you're willing to change things and move forward and discover, I think that's an important way to get people thinking, not sort of feel guilty because you've been living your life in such a way or thinking in a negative way. You can change that really quickly. So I'm learning as well. I'm learning as well myself as I do these podcasts. I've learned so much tonight listening to what you were saying there. So much. Thank you so much for that. It was really great to hear you cover all that information, because you know, sometimes, well, you know, you don't need people to tell you what to believe, you know. I don't need to sit down in front of the nightly news so it can tell me how to think and what to believe. Sometimes these conversations appear and it just connects. And you know, in a deep way, and it's like a flash, you know, I think it's just love. I think it's a wonderful feeling. You just know that is the right way, and that what you're talking about and what you're discussing and feeling is the right way. And this is the thing that we say to people. This is another discussion that we can have later on. A lot of people contact me where they're very upset about, you know, the COVID jabs and all of this stuff that's going on, because their family members and their loved ones or friends at work and stuff, they want them to do it. And because you're not doing it, and you're not going along with the mainstream media and the government and everything narrative, they just can't, I don't know, I just don't want you around anymore. You know, I don't want you in my life anymore. I don't want you, you're not vaccinated. I don't want you to come over to the house for Christmas anymore. And unfortunately, this is something a lot of people are going through. And it really is an unbelievable thing. And I think this is an important thing to keep breaking down as well, because like I'm doing here and meeting people like you, and we have our discussions, these relationships will ebb and flow and shift and change in your life, but you know, when you walk your path, you will always meet and come into contact with new people, and they and what they're talking about and what you think and your belief systems and everything, you will make connections with new people in your life. And yep. One of the hardest things for me has been getting so many emails with people. This is happening with their husbands or wives or their family members and dads and mums and everything are so bitter and angry at them because they didn't get vaccinated and you didn't do what you were told and we just don't want you around anymore, and it's causing a split in these communities and family units, and that's exactly what they want. They want us all fighting and confused and all of this. So it is an interesting sort of thing how we can get that message out there a little bit for people to try and work out how they can deal with this, because unfortunately, and it is a reality, some of these relationships are dead in the water. They're just not listening, and some of these people who are getting down about it and it's starting to drag them down, and this becomes a toxic relationship, almost vampiric. And it drags them under the quicksand. And I've been getting a lot of emails like that of people who don't know what to do anymore, and they're getting very upset, even suicidal. And this is a very serious thing to cover. And I think people are always asking, "What do I do?" You know. And so this could be a theme later on that we could discuss, obviously not tonight, but it's just something to put out there. It is a heavy thing, as you know, David, where the government and the media are telling you to get vaccinated and people don't want it. And they feel like, look, I just don't want that for my body or my children. And then it's splitting families apart. This is an interesting thing as well. And it's all fear-based mind control. It's all about fear. And people are being confused and set down the wrong path. So that's another topic. We've got all 2023 to go over these things. But I think it really, David, it really all starts with the nature of reality. I think what you're talking about tonight is the most important common theme that we need to roll back. We need to say, hey, let's just stop. Let's take a breather and let's just roll things back and let's just look at the nature of reality around us and what really matters and where we are and what's important. And then once we can understand this, let's see how that reality around us shapeshifts or changes to accommodate our new system of belief. Yeah. And how those around us that we may love and those who are having a hard time may even change. Let's put out that, and that will change our reality. And I think that is a really important theme. And you know what? It takes work. And I think in our current society, because of technology and everything, and technology handing us everything on a platter and shoving it down our throats, people are getting used to it doing all the work for them. And I think that, you know, doing what we're talking about tonight, it takes work, and it's not just physical, it's spiritual work. And I think that is the most important thing of all, that we do that necessary work to get back to where we need to be, mate.
Yeah, definitely. Recognize what we truly are. And if there's one thing for people to take away from this little conversation we've had, is to realize their beliefs form their reality. So if you don't like the reality that you're experiencing, look at what beliefs you have. You know, I mean, for instance, if you believe everyone's against you, then that will be your experience. Mm. So change that belief, because, you know, the people in your reality, your experiences are formed on what you believe is possible and not possible. And that's not to say that people don't have free will. Of course they do. But when we talk about the nature of reality again, we can talk about what we think other people are, because there's quite a mystery there. Again, it's not what people will think. So examine your beliefs. If you don't like what you're experiencing, examine your beliefs and see what belief you hold, or set of beliefs you hold, that could be forming that reality, and then set about changing them and watch your reality change. So
that's amazing, isn't it? And you don't need money to change it. You don't need to go and find anything. You know, you don't need to earn anything. All the only thing that is needed in what you're saying there is just the way that you think. And that seems to be acting as a trigger to everything else. So it's really interesting. And that is another common theme, David, how the mind works in all of this and with consciousness, and how everything is interconnected and attached, you know, and how everything works synergistically, like a plant, you know. It is such an important thing. Us as a whole, we work as a whole. And it really is an interesting theme to continue forward with. Great chatting with you tonight. Before we plug out tonight for the podcast, David, is there anything you want to promote or mention for your websites and everything and your upcoming talks or anything like that? Just let us know.
Yeah, sure. Well, with the nature of reality stuff that we've been talking about, I mean, they do go hand in glove. The, you know, natural health and the nature of reality go it's hand connected. In glove. Mm. They're connected, of course. All things are, as you said. But we have two main websites. Our big health book is whatreallymakesyouill.com, and our nature of reality book is thenatureofreality.com. So nice and easy. People can go to those websites and find out more about us, more about our work. on what we have started, because we've been asked, we have started doing live talks, obviously only in the UK at the moment, live talks about the nature of reality, as well as what really makes you ill. So we do those talks, but for anyone in the UK, you can obviously come along to those. You can have a look on our What Really Makes You Ill site and look at there's a section on upcoming talks, so they'll be able to see what we've got coming up. We've got one this coming weekend, actually, down in Lyndhurst in the New Forest in England, south of England, and that is about the nature of reality. So if there's any UK listeners and they're around this coming weekend on the Sunday, we'll be down in Lyndhurst doing a live talk there. So so it's a growing thing, and I'm pleased about that, because it's all part of this awakening and all part of people taking back their power and recognizing what they are. And just a last thought for people, we will talk about it more, about death, because it's always an interesting thing. And I would just say to people, you're as dead now as you're ever going to be. And that's quite an interesting concept, isn't it?
Very much so. That will lead us into the next one.
Okay.
Yeah, this attachment, you know?
Yeah.
And as you mentioned there, yeah, what a great awakening we're seeing, eh? It's in the UK and all around the world. It's a really, it's like an energy thing that's happening, and it's amazing seeing what's going on. And it's almost like we're being forced to awaken, you know, we're being pushed into the corner to wake up. And this could be what we're really doing to ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
So this is an interesting concept.
This whole COVID thing
it's
has been pushed more people into waking up than ever before, you know? I mean, and there's no, as we know, there is no real germ there. It's just an idea that has been foisted upon the public and scared them. But
it could be anything.
Nothing there.
It could have been anything, couldn't it?
Yeah.
They could have told you there's a killer potato on the loose, and we're all going to get infected by potatoes. Yeah, it could be absolutely anything made up.
Yeah. You know? Well, it used to be years ago. Those are people who are an age like I am will remember years ago. It used to be communist plots, you know, Reds under the beds and all of this sort of nonsense. You know, everyone was scared that there was all sorts of communists were going to overthrow and the government and overthrow the people, and they just come up with new things all the time to scare people.
Fear.
And get them pushed down a particular train of thoughts, and COVID was just the same. And as people are realizing now, there was nothing there. It was all just a fear-mongering plot. But of course, people have fallen by the wayside because of the fears that were instilled into them, and they were frightened into taking jabs, which then did kill them, you know, well, to protect them from something that didn't exist.
Yeah, that's the thing we've had at 9/11, AIDS, all these things, you know. But and AIDS is an interesting one. But yeah, with COVID, I think it's that whole thing that I'm going to get sick and die, and that's the thing with 9/11. It was the Arabs are going to get us, you know. It's like the terrorists in Osama bin Laden, all of this, you know. You've got to look over here, you've got to look over there. It's constant distractions. But with the COVID-19 thing, they scared people down to an individual level that you're going to get sick and you could die unless you do this.
Yeah.
And your community, your family, you could spread it, you know. And because people are so attached, you know, it's that manipulation, that engineering, that deep psych warfare part of it that you know, got them to act like puppets and do what they were told based on nothing, based on an absolute made-up lie. There's nothing there. As I've said on many podcasts, people look at your life from when you were a kid and look at it now. Nothing has changed except for the world's become more modern. There's nothing out there to get you. There's nothing out there. There's no boogeyman that's going to get you under the bed or out of your closet or come behind you and grab you. There's nothing that's going to infect you. It's all fear. And people, unfortunately, played into it hook, line, and sinker. Yeah. And I think that this fear has been, you know, it's been interwoven and engineered over so many years, and it is like the layers of an onion. That is a classic way of saying it. And you have to peel those layers back to get to that true soul, that true spirit. And I think that it's just in there waiting. And I think that we need to start breaking down those levels. Just it's like shackles, and I need to start getting rid of it, like dead skin. And off it goes.
It's the old saying, isn't it? The truth will set you free.
It does.
And this is really why we do what we do. We find out stuff and we put it out there. People can either take it on board or not. You know, we're not trying to force people to do anything. We're just giving them information, and then they can make informed decisions, and that's all we try to do.
That's right. Yep, that's exactly right. People will see information, and then you just, you absorb it, and then you make your own decisions based on what you've seen, and you come to your own conclusions.
Yeah.
And in this way, meeting, when we have these conversations, it's just it's so connected, and it feels right. And this is the way to move forward. So it's interesting, and I think it is just so important to break down all this fear. Absolutely, people are living in a fear state, and a lot of people just don't even know it. And I think that that starts with looking in the mirror, and to understand, to look in the mirror and look at yourself and say, you know, yes, you know, I have been conned. I am living in this fear state, and I have done this and I have done that, and you know what? I'm going to make it better. And if you can't do that, then that is the ego. Ego is driving your life, you know, and you need to get back in the driver's seat and take control and put the ego in the back seat. And I think that's the way that it is. You're in control of your life, just like being in a car. If you're not in control of the car, then you're gonna you're in big trouble. So you've got to be in control of the car. Otherwise, forget driving. You're gone. You're gonna drive into a building or a shed or a shop or something. You know, fish and chip shop. You're gone. So this is the thing. We've got to get back in the driver's seat. We've got to take control of our lives and stop this nonsense. And realize what's really important. So we're really interesting. We'll continue the theme here with this tonight, David. I think it's really, really interesting, and so much more to cover on the next one. And great to have you back tonight and again next month. I really look forward to that, and there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff that we can cover on that one to continue forward. So really good chatting with you tonight, buddy.
Okay, well, thank you, Adam, and I hope your listeners enjoy it as much as I have. So thank you.